This is In the Circle on Backstage News.
And we welcome you to this edition of In the Circle. Eric Lopez alongside Victor Anderson. Coming up, we're going to take a play, go to a place, one of my favorite cities of the United States that I've gotten a chance to visit many times.
A place that you're very familiar with. Outside of Orlando, of all the cities in a Big 12, I can make the argument that you're probably more familiar with this place than any other. And that will be Houston, Texas, where the Houston Cougars will make their maiden voyage in the league in 2024. Coming up, we will talk to the head Coug herself, head coach Kristen Vesely. And also, we're going to talk to someone who I think could make a lot of noise and possibly making some All-American list this year.
Tariya Coleman, baby. Tariya Coleman.
Yep, was a first-team All-American select, first-team American Athletic Conference selection, second-team All-Region honoree last year, and is poised to do some bigger things in 2024.
Yeah, she was on the All-Big 12 preseason team as well. Talk about her journey to Houston. We'll talk to Coach Vesely about the outlook for the Cougars, basically a reboot. We'll explain why she felt this was the time to have a reboot coming up all on this edition of In the Circle. Of course, you can follow us on In the Circle SB. It's been busy. It's been
a little busy. Just a touch.
It's been a lot of posts. Going to continue this week. Yeah, that's on In the Circle there, of course, on Facebook. And, of course, our YouTube channel has been blowing up this week.
That's
with
an understatement.
A ton of episodes with, obviously, all the Big 12 content that we have. But also, Victor just had his D2 season preview released. That is out there with mega big interviews as the Division II season starts, Victor.
Yes, Division II starts this weekend. One of the marquee tournaments happens to take place in the state of Texas, Conroe, Texas, to be specific. But another team that is looking to do some things in Texas is the Houston Cougars, making their inaugural voyage into the Big 12. Last year, a down season by their standards, and head coach Kristen Vesely, understanding the new lead that she's going to be in, Eric, wanted to shake things up a little bit.
And I had a chance to talk to her about that recently, about this new-look Houston team going into the Big 12, a conference that Kristen Vesely knows very well. It's in her blood. Because she was a two-time All-American at Oklahoma when they were in the Big 12 during her time when she was a star softball player as well as a soccer player. Those are some of the topics I had a chance to talk to Kristen Vesely, which you'll hear right now, right here in the circle. Joining us now, she's the head coach of the Houston Cougars. She's been the head coach since 2017. Of course, was a two-time All-American at Oklahoma, the all-time hits leader at 293 hits when she was a Sooner. So it's a bit of a homecoming for her as Houston will be in their first season in the Big 12. I speak of Kristen Vesely, joins us here on In the Circle. Coach, how you doing?
Good, good. Excited to be here, Eric. Thanks for having us.
So what's this been like for you now? It's reality. We've talked in the past about the pending move to the Big 12 and what it could mean for the program, but it's reality now. We're in the midst of the first year for the athletic department, and you're about a few weeks away. What is it like to see all those Big 12 logos on campus?
It's a little surreal. We've talked about it for so long. We understand the president's view and where she wanted to be, and where we want to be as an athletic department, and now we're here. It's been awesome to talk to some of the fall sports and kind of get a feel of the landscape, what it's like in different towns that we haven't been to. And it's been pretty cool to get some information from them and get a little bit of a foresight. And, you know, I mean, it's near and dear to our heart. All three of the coaches on staff played in the Big 12. You know, we're Big 12 babies, so we're right where we want to be, and we're familiar with the competition, and we're excited to be in the Big 12 this year.
I was going to say, Chris, you've played in the league. Is it a little extra special for you because of you have ties there to the league? You've played in the league. Now you'll get to coach in the league. Not many can say that. I mean, that's got to be a little extra special meaning for you.
Extremely prideful. Big 12 conference is one of the best softball conferences, and it has been for years. It's amazing to be in the conference. We hope that we are coaching, you know, somebody comes in and breaks some of our records. That would be amazing as a coach to coach somebody, you know, win the Big 12, have a championship ring. We all have some of those, regional World Series have the Big 12 logo on it. So we want to make sure, you know, we're doing the same thing for our kids and our players.
You've played a lot of the Big 12 programs recently. Like, for example, you play Baylor almost every year, it seems like, in the regular season. You've played Texas in the regular season every year. You've played Oklahoma recently. Does that help in this transition?
It does. It helps tremendously. We know the measuring stick. We know what they look like on game one and game two. Now we're playing a three-game series. We've played most of them one to two times in the last few years. I think one year we played Oklahoma four times. I'm not really sure who set that up. But besides that, it'll be great to be able to play them on the weekends and actually strategize against them and play for game one and two and three and, you know, finding out their intricates and how they do pitching rotations and how they make in-game adjustments. It's going to be really cool to go three-game series against all of them.
What have you learned about the league just in coaches' meetings, just kind of as you've, I'm sure, prepare for the season? I know you have the non-conference season, but what have you learned? Obviously, you're not alone in this, UCF and BYU with you as far as the newbies. It's a fascinating year in the league with so many plot lines, with obviously Oklahoma and Texas in their last year, but a deeper league than ever before.
More meanings. We have a lot of meetings. They want to be on the front end of a lot of things. You know, if we're doing double bags, we're doing pitch clocks, replays, they want to be on the front end of that and kind of go head-to-head with the SEC, and that's different. You know, sometimes when we're in the American, we might get information a little delayed or even make decisions based on budgets. And for the Big 12, I mean, it is how do we make sure that we are progressing the game? How do we make sure that there's competitive advantages versus other conference? And it's been different, very professional.
Obviously, as you get ready for the season, let's talk about the process of getting ready for the season. On D1 Softball's fall report, you said, quote, this was the time for a reboot for the program. Just kind of expand on that and what you meant by that, a reboot here. Obviously, you got a lot of new faces, new coaches, which we'll talk about. But just talk about what led you to make the decision. This was the time for a reboot as you get set for the Big 12.
Reflecting. Having tough conversations. We weren't where we needed to be. This is the best time as we're moving conferences to make the biggest change. We're going to be, having change in opponent competition, in funding, in national recognition. So now is a great time to reboot the program and kind of start back over. And we have the opportunity to do that. We have a lot of administrative support. And they want us to be as competitive as we could be in the Big 12. So, when we have those conversations like, hey, we got to redirect, and they are 100% supporting. And it feels good as a coach and make the necessary decisions for the program.
You look at the league, obviously a bigger league. It's going to next year. You'll have Arizona State, Utah join the league. So you'll actually gain the team, even though you lose Oklahoma and Texas. How will that affect your non-conference schedule moving forward? Because you told me last year they would affect it a little bit. From a date standpoint, from a philosophy standpoint, you obviously lose some in-state games you normally would get. How is that going to impact your non-conference scheduling?
For us, we're going to travel a little bit more next year. We are on the road three times this year for conference opponents. I think next year will probably be four. So paying attention and being mindful, within preseason, we got to get on the road. We got to make sure that we're versed in travel, that we've got a routine for when we're on the road. Going back, adding Arizona State and Utah, going back west, that kind of opens up recruiting a little bit more for us. We'll play in front of those families. And we have a lot of kids from all over the country. So for us, preseason schedule is just making sure we're getting to where we can, and making those adjustments early, and making sure that we're, again, we're ready. Yes, we lose Oklahoma and Texas. Those other three are World Series teams as well. So it's kind of cool that we might be cycling some out, but we're also getting some in different geography and playing different locations and, more direct flights for us because we're very fortunate to live in such a great city.
State of Arizona, that's like a homecoming for you, isn't it? Aren't you from there?
That is true. I am from Arizona. We got to play at Arizona State last year, and my family hosted a team meal, and anytime you could get home, anytime you could be around other families, other home cities for our kids, there's nothing better than that. It's doing what you love in front of the people you love.
That's pretty good. How many could say you have a homecoming when you play in the conference road series? How would you describe your time when you were a player in the Big 12. And do you relay any of that experience to your current, to your players?
We don't talk about when we played very much. I mean, is that almost 20 years ago? Yeah, it's 20 years ago. So I can't really relate. The other two still play pro, so they can relate. And the players and Coach Hope, you know, obviously won the national championship in the Big 12 2 years ago. So for us, you know, we don't really talk about it as a player's perspective. Cool thing is looking at it back when we played, it was, we went through a realignment. So we've kind of already been through this. You know, we had Nebraska, Missouri, Colorado, and A&M in the Big 12, and then they realigned while we're in it and they were no longer at our conference. So that's kind of cool. We have a little similarity there and a little paralleling. But yeah, we try to talk really truthfully to the players and talk about the now and what's going on. Our game changes so quickly. Conferences change so quickly. So just making sure that we're with the relevance and with the trends.
You mentioned, obviously, your coaching staff. Let's talk about them. Let's first start with you got Nadia Taylor and Hope Troutwine. First of all, you got Sooners and Longhorns on the same cap. I didn't know that was legal. Impossible.
I didn't even think of that. We try to keep the, you know, the Red River rivalry out of the office. you know, we're wearing red now. So we are Houston fans. But yes, we have a tremendous staff. You know, Nadia still plays for, Athletes Unlimited. So getting her game experience and hearing how they prep and hearing some of the technology that's coming in the game. She's kind of on the front end of that. So that's really a neat experience for us. She played in the Big 12. She did play at that Orange school, that you mentioned, but, it's really cool to have her on board, extremely passionate and talented player, and even a better coach. And, that's something for us that we needed. And she completely runs the offense, turned that over. It wasn't getting done. And that was one of the things that reflected upon as a leader and said, okay, what areas can we improve the quickest? And it was hitting. So hired Nadia, hired one of the better hitting coaches that are, again, it's more on the front end of things and, passionate, competitor, loves recruiting, you know, all the things that are going to help our program, exponentially grow.
What is her, I mean, you mentioned she'll run the offense. Obviously, she's still playing. How much of that was a conversation as she, I would assume, continued to play? And how do you balance that out? Because obviously with her responsibilities, with recruiting and everything versus playing.
Just being organized and having very transparent conversations. You know, this summer, she's going to be out of pocket for a little bit, but they have a little bit of breaks here and there and just making sure we can be present and be seen. You know, that is something we had a conversation up front. Like, I will support you as a coach, and as a person, if you want to continue to play, as long as you want to play, you know, we're not putting, you know, Houston on the back burner. She was tremendous this summer when she was still playing and on the phone and with recruits and transfers, flew her down when she had maybe a 20-hour window. We flew down for a visit and got her back up there. So she's still very active in the program and representing us well, even when she's playing.
You mentioned she's running the offense. You said that was one of your reflection kind of determinations. How hard was that to, I wouldn't say give up offense because I'm sure you'll be still involved in it, but you've talked about it from a day-to-day. It's tough as a head coach to be on a day-to-day basis, but you also love coaching hitting. So take me through that decision that you made. Was it an easy decision, a hard decision for you personally?
Everything that we do is based on facts and analytics, and that's, you know, the emotional piece is removed. We want to win, and it doesn't matter how we feel. Winning comes before our feelings as coaches, as players. So for us, it wasn't that difficult when you looked at it. Hitting is such a high detailed area, and it can be highly impactful that they need somebody just for them that can be with them, you know, work with them one-on-one when we have time, go over video with them, some things that I wasn't able to do as a head coach. And to be honest, with Nadia still playing, you know, she is getting a little bit more, and she has a little bit of background in MLB. Just getting that knowledge in the door is helped us move, and getting better athletes that can move the barrel quicker and that can run and really play into what we're trying to do as an offense. So she's done a great job. We want to keep her as long as we can. She came in from day one and raised the standard, which is, you know, as a head coach, there's nothing more enjoyable if somebody that comes in and takes ownership of an area and is like, hey, this is how we're going to do things to this standard, and does not waver. And that's been phenomenal.
Obviously, you brought Hope Trotwine to be your pitching coach. She's been playing as well. Speak to that decision of bringing Hope. Obviously, you mentioned she won the national title at Oklahoma. What has she brought as far as to the pitchers?
Passion. She is very passionate. She brings pride every single day. She still throws to our athletes, so she's competitive as all get out. And there's something to be said that bringing in people that played for the coach that you kind of model the program after. Coach Gasso coached us both at different times of her career. So it's really awesome to have somebody that kind of understands the lingo, that understands the language, the expectations, the professionalism, the standards. We don't have to go over those things. She knows. And that part, bridging that gap has been really awesome. And you always want to take care of your sister, you know, and that's something she played for coach. So that's been ingrained in us since we played there. And, coach trusted me enough to mentor her. We interviewed quite a few pitching coaches and we just kept coming back to Hope and her knowledge and relevance to now and how the game's adapted and changed. She had an awesome opportunity to learn from 3 or 4 pitching coaches. Not only that, she's actually made the transition from a mid-major from North Texas to OU in the Big 12. And that's exactly where we're at as a program. So to have somebody that has that knowledge as a player or a coach, I mean, it's been a tremendous help.
No, and one that can certainly relate to the players. You've got a lot of new faces, especially in the pitching, as we'll get to. Does that, in a way, benefit the fact that almost, you know, Coach Taylor, Coach Trotwine, you have new players, so it's a bit of a starting over for everybody. There's no like, well, I've done it this way for a certain amount of years with a previous whatever. It's almost like everybody's got a clean slate here. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate. You know, the returners that we brought back, we had a very candid conversation. We are not happy with where we're at. We're going to make some big changes. Are you in or out? And the ones that are here are in. We talked about we're going to make, you know, changes to the program, how we did things. There is no more. Well, last year's not our standard. We're setting a new standard. And bringing in new coaches along with good players gave us the opportunity to clean the slate and start over and redirect.
How do you find chemistry this fall and is moving forward with so many new faces, everybody getting to know each other? How do you build chemistry?
Honestly, we kind of put them through the ringer. We did it through adversity and difficulty in practice. And the weight room. The weight room is a big, big area of improvement for us, making that sure that we spend time together. Even in preseason, we ate lunch together every single day. We mixed up who we ate lunch with based on a few different things. We might have done like height, areas of the country you're from, just to make sure that we know each other on a personal level. That's where we create chemistry and trust. And then as we move forward, continuing to do some things offsite, we're going to do some things offsite in the next couple of weeks to really kind of get away from softball and get them to gel. But mainly in the fall, we did it through a little bit of adversity.
One of the players that returns, of course, is Taria Coleman, was on the Big 12 preseason all-conference, was an incredible year last year. It just had an incredible 397, slugged 645, on-base 503, set 5 single-season records for the program. Not bad for a first year. What makes her such a great talent? What do you see from her here this upcoming season?
Taria's special. She's a stellar athlete. I think what makes her different than everybody else is that her knowledge of the game is far superior than anybody in her age. So not only does she have the body, she also has the mind to go with it. This year we have high expectations for her. She's been challenged in many of ways, in the fall. We also moved her back behind the plate. So she's going to be a utility for us, but majority of her innings are probably going to be behind the plate. She's taken some, reps and innings at third and short and outfield as well. So we're going to be moving her around, using her just like we use a couple others to get the best sticks in the lineup, while being mindful of how to keep her body fresh.
What led you to the decision to have her more behind the plate? Is it just because of the personnel you have? It just fits that way? And just talk about how you envision the defense, which I'm assuming you're running the defense this season with Nadia in the offense and obviously Hope doing the pitching.
Right. So we went after the best players that we could get on the transfer portal. And from that, we took the first week of practice tried everybody infield, outfield, behind the plate, just to make sure we had a good understanding of people's strengths and weaknesses. And from there, we kind of built our team. She is behind the plate because that's a position that we need help with. You know, we lost a 4-year starter from behind the plate that caught, you know, probably 80 to 90% of the innings. So moving her back there with her knowledge is a big plus. And we didn't plan on that this summer. We went after anybody that fit what the culture we're trying to set and the talent level. And that's where we think she'll best showcase. She is a plus receiver. She does very well receiving. She has a very calm personality and works well with pitchers. I wouldn't be surprised to see her at other positions. We do have other catchers, and one's recovering from an injury that should probably get some time. And then we have another transfer as well. So we have two transfers that can catch, which is Kennedy Thomas and Claire or Cece. So they'll get some innings as well, and we'll have an opportunity to keep Taria fresh and get a different look.
How do you see the rest of your defense playing out? I know you got Paige Holsey back, who's always been a cornerstone in the outfield. How do you envision the rest of the defense with the outfield and the infield? I know you have some battles going on, but you got a lot of new faces and a lot of talent that have played those positions. I'm curious where everybody's fitting in right now.
Honestly, it's still up in the air. They're still competing every day at practice. We've had, Jazz Rollin kind of become a staple in the infield, Lair Boutte, Brooke Lorenzo, Mandy Essman, Zaquai Dumas, Bree Cantu. You know, they've all kind of started vying for spots in the infield. Not a single person's really locked down their position. And then we've also had a couple of them taking reps in the outfield with Holsey, with Janiah Thomas, with Kennedy Thomas, just making sure that we are prepared to put the best sticks in lineup. We're going to hit this year and base run like crazy, and we'll be above average on defense as well. So we are trying to put the master recipe together, make sure that we're in the best spot to win.
What have you seen from Jazz and Lair? That was big pickups that certainly made a lot of noise, news, when you got them in particular with Rollin and Boutte. What do they bring to the table?
Experience. Lair coming off a World Series team. She brings experience. She is even coming up through Corona Angels organization, she knows what pressure is. She knows what high standard is. Bringing her in was a plus for us. And then with JR, she's an extremely powerful athlete, very athletic, extremely competitive. So those are things for us. You know, how do we continue to feed the culture we want? And it's getting those type of players where, yes, they're great players, but they want to win above everything.
Pitching staff, you don't return an inning from it, which is why I think you in Florida might be the only ones from the Power Five that could say that's unique. But you have some experience just from different places, starting with a Shelby Smith, obviously from Seton Hall. I want to start with her and move from the rest of the staff. What intrigues you about her? I think she's a local kid, but obviously he's coming off winning a Big East title and is winning, which I assume was attractive from that standpoint. It's a kid that knows how to win.
Absolutely. She's a kid that knows how to win. From the Houston area that can physically handle a lot of innings. And I think that's the first thing when you're looking at a pitching staff, that's the first thing you do is go get somebody that has thrown over to, 180 innings. That's pretty substantial for multiple years and been successful and managed to keep walks down, ERAs within range to help us win. She's a left-handed pitcher. As we put together our staff, we went and found pitchers that really contrast each other and make sure that we don't have the same look throughout the lineup. And she is extremely competitive. She's passionate. She's everything that we need in the circle to follow behind.
Tell me about the rest of the staff, what they bring. They're all new. And then do you envision it being by committee? Do you see somebody like Shelly kind of being the leader of the staff? How does that establish? It's so unique because you literally don't return an inning. So it's almost to some extent you're learning them. It's a learning process there, I would imagine.
It is. And Coach Hope's done a tremendous job managing them and getting to know them and teaching them this fall. I would assume we're going to pitch by committee. We have four arms, and all of them look different. You know, Shelby's left-handed, moves the ball a little bit more east-west. Nicole Badeau is from the Houston area as well. She's kind of your typical velocity pitcher. We have Paris, who is going to be high movement, and then we have Tamaya, who's going to be high off-speed. So we've kind of put them group them together with pitchers, that maybe we bring somebody in that throws hard and then we rely on somebody that throws heavy off speed. So we've been working on that in practice, making sure that they come in different situations. We're really trying to manage their innings early on to make sure that we're healthy and that we don't have too many innings on one pitcher going into Big 12.
How big of a boost has it been? Because I've noticed you've had players come to your program because of coming back home closer to the Houston area. Now that you're in the Big 12, how big of an impact that has had on getting local kids to stay either in recruiting or come via the transfer like you've had in this with this team this year?
It's huge. We live in the best city in the country, hands down. So not only is it the best city, we have a lot of talent within a 1 to 2 hour radius. That's from, you know, the Houston metro that comes home. And now being a Power Five, I mean, there's no reason to play in front of your hometown. And that helped us with transfers. That helped us with the 2024 class. I mean, we're number 30 in the country. We're number 14 in the country with our transfer class. So it has definitely helped having the Big 12 logo. But I think it's helped knowing and sharing our vision of where we're going to be by the end of this year. And, you know, being transparent and having good relationships with our kids. I mean, those are the things that really propel us in the recruiting. Being in a great city never hurts us.
Tell me about your facilities and your stadium, because I think there will be more people watching your games than ever before, with obviously the attraction of matchups. You're going to have bigger attendance than ever before by the teams that are coming into the league that is going to come to your place, like the Texas of the world. It's one thing to play on a midweek, but now you're getting them on a weekend. So I'm curious, what has been preparation for that? What, as far as the stadium, what's ahead for the stadium? Because I know you've always talked about constantly with facilities. So that's going to have a big impact as well with more people coming into the stadium to watch games this year.
Right. And we've been meeting with facilities, marketing, all the different auxiliary departments to make sure that we're ready for the crowds, and that we represent our city. And that's something we talked about doing is, you know, adding food trucks, which we do that on campus every single day. So that'll be kind of cool and makes it unique and special. Give it a little bit of that urban feel. We've talked, you know, they've done a really good job of cleaning up the walkways, the entries, working on parking, which, you know, in the middle of the city is a very delicate thing. And I think facilities wise, I mean, we're right on par. There's a couple of things we want to keep working towards. The next thing we want to build out at the facility is a clubhouse. We have a locker room currently, but we want all the bells and whistles. We want to follow in the footsteps of men's and women's basketball on campus and their, you know, $20 million facility. Just making sure, again, as we're winning and becoming a national brand, making sure that our facilities, you know, mirror that.
You obviously get to see what, you know, volleyball had a successful first year in the Big 12. Men's basketball currently have another successful season. They're starting, obviously, Big 12. You've seen the other sports start Big 12 before you. Do you take notes as you watch them? Do you talk to them and kind of get some feedback, and whether it be on the field stuff or maybe things like traveling and things like that? What kind of do you kind of a notebook, if you will?
Yes, we share a hallway with soccer. And I talk to the volleyball coach quite frequently as well. We share notes on everything we can. You know, what do their facilities look like? What does it look like to get in and out of there? Food options, hotel options, the travel. How did that wear on student athletes' welfare? You know, all of it. Anything that we can do to make sure that we're prepared and that we're preparing the athletes, we want to do as coaches and share. That was really cool to watch. Football, soccer, volleyball, even indoor track is all going right now. They're about to start. So that's pretty cool just to have somebody go in front of us that we have kind of a heads up and learn from them, and watch them and take notes and have conversations with the coaches to make sure that, again, that we're prepared.
I mentioned you've played Oklahoma before, so it's nothing new this year when you play them. You play them at Oklahoma. Does that make it easier to play them, the fact you've played them recently from the state, just from a personal standpoint? Because I know that place means a lot to you. They have the new stadium that's supposed to start this year, which you might be, you'll be a part of it. You've been a part of that success. Does it make it easier playing them that you've played them recently, and maybe it's not as emotional as it would have been if you hadn't played them in a long time?
I think, obviously, playing them, having an opportunity to coach against somebody that you think is the best in the game, that is always emotional. But like we talk as a program and with our players, as soon as we step on the field, it doesn't matter who it is. It's a great face. So the emotions goes out the window. We are strategizing and playing to win. I think playing them every year for the last few years has definitely helped us. get rid of the little shock moment. But I do think this team is special that we're coaching, and that players understand what our expectations are, and it doesn't matter who steps on across the field, we're trying to win.
Do you have a favorite memory from your playing days in the Big 12? Because, of course, you mentioned soccer. You played soccer as well. You were a two-sports star. What do you have a favorite memory?
Oh, man. Well, I had a blast there, and I wouldn't have changed that for the world. I was talking about this the other day with the player. Like, just the fact and the opportunity that they allowed me to play two sports there, that is very special. It was really cool to kind of see how each program ran and the different chemistry and cultures. It was beneficial for me as an athlete to get, you know, physically fit in soccer to help my softball game and be agile and fast. It was awesome to be on the softball team where coach's standard was extremely high and we were competitive, and bring that over to soccer. It was really cool to kind of overlap and have different experiences, and it helped me stay fresh. I would say that's probably my favorite memory, is just being able to play both sports.
And that was a time where, you know, you're facing Kat Osterman, mm-hmm. facing Amanda Scarborough, I believe, a young Scarborough, and Megan Gibson at A&M at the time, where they were like, it was a who's who of the league there. That's pretty darn good there. I mean, that league, and, you know, but you, it kind of, you know, it was tough then, it's tough now, so I would imagine, it's full circle for you.
Full circle. And pitching has always been dominant in the Big 12. Peaches James from Nebraska was one of the toughest pitchers we ever faced. I think she might have no-hit us once or twice. We won't bring that up. And then I remember, you know, Baylor at the time had VTech and had a couple other pitchers that were top-notch and had a strikeout per inning. Pitching has always been dominant in the Big 12. I think Big 12 has always been strong in softball. And I think, again, this year we're probably a three-team World Series. So that's exciting to get to face that competition every single day and compete for it.
You are a two-sport player. Does that, when you recruit, is that something you look for in a player to see how many sports play? Because maybe it helps them from, because I've heard some coaches, Coach Gasso is one of them, has said she likes getting athletes that have played other sports because they believe that, you know, hey, there's that competitive side of them. If you're playing multiple sports, you're pretty competitive. Do you buy into that logic?
I do. And I see it from living it. I felt like I was always fresh, and I felt like physically I would always be in the greatest strength, fitness, mobility. I feel like I was less likely to get injured. I think it's a huge plus, and I do look for that recruiting. If they're able to compete in different sports, I mean, they're different physically than everybody else. And there's a few other sports that parallel and that help softball players be more athletic. You know, basketball, soccer, volleyball. Anytime you're moving, we have a couple of players on our team that ran track in high school. So yes, we definitely look for that recruiting. I think it's a big competitive advantage, physically mainly. And they generally have the mindset of like, you know, my mind will give up them more quicker than my body because they're used to playing at a high pace and being fatigued.
Obviously, other things going on in softball. Obviously, there's the pitch clock now at 20 seconds. They've modified the illegal pitch. There's more instant replay in the game. What's been your reaction to some of the changes in the offseason to the sport and in general?
Excited. Anytime that we can adapt as a sport to maybe get us more TV time, get us more visibility, anything that we can do, you know, to keep the edge that we have. I mean, I think we're becoming the third most popular sport, and we're right on the cusp of being a revenue sport. All the changes that we're making as a sport gets us in front of more people and gets us more opportunities. I think it's great.
No doubt. It's going to be exciting to see those changes. You know, obviously you follow soccer and volleyball. They see 32 teams. They've done that now, kind of a trial period the last two seasons, the falls there. Is that something you think softball should follow down the road, perhaps? See 32? Do you like it the way it is from a seeding standpoint?
I kind of like it the way it is. It gives it a good mix and diversity from geographical areas, conferences. I kind of like 64.
Yeah, I think 64 is definitely a number we all like. On that, should be interesting. Couple last things before we let you go. I know in the last couple of years, we've talked, you haven't, you know, liked how your team started. You kind of dug yourself a hole before you got into conference. What's the key to getting off to a good start? Obviously, you're going to start at home. That helps. But you're also going to still play in Baton Rouge, for example, in a tough tournament. So there's that balancing act of testing yourself. But at the same time, you know you've got a gauntlet coming up with arguably the strongest conference in the sport. So how do you balance that out from a scheduling standpoint?
Starting at home, being in front of, you know, our family, friends, sleeping in our own beds, a huge benefit. And then also getting on the road to make sure that we're prepared to travel in the Big 12. We did a really good job this year of balancing our schedule. Obviously, our opponents, a lot of northern schools want to come down and play in the weather that we have. And then go into to Baton Rouge and play in LSU and Boise State and Austin Peay. I mean, those are tough opponents early, and that's exactly what we want to do is get our feet up under us, practice hard. Again, gray face, it doesn't matter who we're playing. They are expected as players to be living up to the standard and the goals that we set every single game, and they know. And if we do that, we'll be highly successful. If we have a couple bumps or inconsistencies, then it'll affect us.
Do you have leaders established as of now? Is that still evolving? And what kind of leadership do you have? Do you have the leaders that lead by example or more of a vocal leader?
We actually just voted on captains a couple days ago, so we're in the mix of that. We have quite a bit of personality on the team, and I think we have a few that live the standard, that do everything needed physically, you know, that I guess would be the ones that lead by example. We don't really call example. We just say, you know, doing your job. And then we have a couple that are more vocal, a little stronger personalities. So we have a really good mix of that. We have a really good mix of older kids and youngers. I mean, I think we're in a really good spot as a program.
My last question is, you get, before you know it, the first game opening day at home, obviously this season. What are a couple questions, keys you're intrigued to find out about your team that you'll find out playing other competition that will be a factor the rest of the year?
Can they keep that mentality that we work on every single day in practice? You know, the challenge. When the challenge arises, can you shut the door? We have it laid out exactly how we want to attack every single inning. Each inning has a focus. You know, fourth is blank, fifth is blank, sixth is blank, seventh blank. And we have two innings that are championship innings. Like, hey, this is when champions close the door. This is when champions, you know, how do we start the game? This is how we start the game. So if we do everything we're supposed to do, it'll be an awesome start, which we expect. We expect from our players. We train that way all fall. We've created as much chaos and adversity as we could as a coaching staff. So they are trained and they will be ready come opening day.
That's Houston head coach Kristen Vesely here on In the Circle, a 2-time All-American, full circle, Big 12. I know you've got a lot of Big 12 swag somewhere, right?
Getting that logo.
No, you're not going to get that logo.
You know what? I think I have a couple things left from OU, and we plan on going to the OU-LSU football game. It'll be the first ever the weekend of Thanksgiving this next year. So hoping to get back in the swing of being around Big 12 football. We had an opportunity this year at Houston, so just continue that trend. And no. We have our Big 12 logo has Houston on it.
No, that's what I meant. You got that swag back. That's what I meant. I didn't mean like getting the, I'm saying you got the Big 12 logo back on you there.
Yes, we do have some of that swag gear.
That's good. Well, Coach, I know you've been excited about this. We've talked about this move for the last couple of years, and I know you've been building towards this, so I'm excited for you. Thanks for taking the time from the busy schedule before the season. Always great to catch up with you, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again during the year, but thanks for talking to us.
Sounds good, Eric. Thanks for having us, and obviously next time we're at UCF, I'll be seeing you.
And thanks again to Coach Vesely for joining us here in the circle. Great to catch up with her. And, Victor, obviously it's a reboot on the roster. You know, I think offensively they're going to score runs. I'm not too worried about that with Nadia Taylor, somebody you've covered.
Yep, Nadia Taylor, bringing her experience from Athletes Unlimited in a professional game, being on her staff. Yep. That's going to be big. And also Hope Troutline joins the staff to
– covered her too.
Knows a thing or two about pitching in the state of Texas and pitching in the Big 12. So Coach Vesely knows what she's doing in terms of the coaching staff that she's assembled.
It's no doubt about that. But of course, break down the schedule, Victor. What stands out to you about her schedule? Obviously, a lot of home dates early. I know they go to Baton Rouge. I thought that circled that as a key non-conference weekend for them. And of course, the Big 12 slate once that gets
well, going. A sneaky, interesting tournament for the Cougars is the second weekend, the Houston Classic. They're going to take on UMass, which is going to be a contender again in the A-10, Northwestern State, and Nichols, who I think can really push things in the Southland. Remember McNeese, we also remember how close they came to advancing the Supers and having a All Louisiana Super Regional, then in Louisiana, reference the trip to Louisiana with Austin Peay and Boise State and LSU. They start their Big 12 voyage hosting Texas March 8th through the 10th before they go to Iowa State. Now, this stretch, Eric, is going to be very fascinating. It's going to be the first couple weekends of April. They host Oklahoma State April 5th through 7th at Cougar Stadium. They have a midweek with Sam Houston, and then a program, a rivalry to Eric that you know very, very well. Houston will host UCF April 12th through the 14th, and then they will travel to a little place we like to call Norman, Oklahoma, to take on the national champion Sooners. And then Coach Vesely will go to College Station for a midweek versus her alma mater, Texas A&M. Chris Vesely will go to Texas A&M, which she's seen very well when they were in the Big 12. And then they host Texas Tech, who we just had on their head coach, Craig Snyder, and their perennial All-American, Miss Wyckoff. They're going to be seeing them. So April's going to be a very pivotal month for Houston with those series with Oklahoma State, UCF at home, at Oklahoma, hosting Texas Tech. The fact that they got three of those series at home can help them in trying to get ready for the Big 12 tournament in May.
And one of the players they will lean on to help them and to success in year one of the Big 12 is Taria Coleman. And when we return, you'll hear from Taria Coleman. She'll talk about playing the catcher position, something you heard Coach Vesely allude to there in the interview. Her decision to come to Houston and what is life like in the Big 12? Cause of course she started her career at Oklahoma. That and much more when we return on this edition of In the Circle.
Folks, we have been running through the content of the Big 12 like it's nobody's business, but we know that you want more Big 12 content. That's why it's important to follow us on our social media at Inner Circle SB, especially on Twitter /X, where at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Central Time every day, we will announce the schools we will be having on that day for our media day and the players and coaches or other distinguished guests that we'll be having on that day. So be on the lookout for that. Again, Inner Circle SB, follow us on our social media and especially follow us, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Various interviews will be available there as well. And we will have our In the Circle season preview where we will talk about the national landscape Sunday, February 4th, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. And a player, Eric, that will look to get herself on the national landscape after a phenomenal first year with the Cougs is coming up to talk with us shortly.
That is Taria Coleman, who set 5 single season records in Houston last year in her first year. I had a chance to catch up with her recently talking about her last year at Houston, what she looks for this year with her new teammates, as well as what got her back to her hometown of Houston. Here now, Taria Coleman in the Circle. Joining us now here on In the Circle, she set 5 single season records in her first year at Houston. Of course, she's a first-team all-preseason Big 12 honoree coming off a monster year, of course, from Houston. I speak of Taria Coleman joining us here in the Circle. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. How were you able to transition so easily last season? That's my first question. You know, a lot of times you go to a new school, maybe there's a transition period. You didn't show it if you did because you had an incredible season. So just talk about the transition of coming to Houston.
I definitely used the fall as a time for me to transition, but the coaches and being with my family and just the team made it very easy to, you know, come to a new program and, you know, adapt to them. So they made it very easy for me.
You were just named preseason All Big 12 Conference. The Any reaction to that? I mean, it's just the preseason, but still, you're going to be known as the first Houston player ever to be honored in the Big 12 for an all-conference honor like that with preseason. Any pride in that?
Yeah, it's definitely an honor to, like, represent my school and to be, you know, honored alongside of one of some of the greatest, you know, players out there in the country right now. So it's definitely an honor. So I'm just glad that I can represent Houston and my school.
Describe this fall and what's it been like? You've gotten to know a lot of new faces on the team. What has that been like, getting to know some of your new teammates this year and blending in?
It's definitely been a journey, you know, adjusting to everybody new since, like, we have a new team. But it's been fun, you know, learning different players and learning our new coaches. And I think we really bonded over the fall and the beginning of the spring. So I think we have some good talent and we're going to go a long ways this year.
What did you learn about yourself in the last year playing? You got a chance to play, had that great year that I talked about. What did you learn about yourself and what did you work on to possibly be better, which is kind of scary, but I'm sure there are things you picked out that you think you could be better at.
Yeah, definitely. I just think that I trusted, you know, my process, trusted the coaches, and I think that allowed me to, you know, become the person I am now. And I just, you know, being with the team, I just learned from the girls, and so I think they really helped me this year and the previous years.
Coach Vesely told me she's trying you in multiple different positions. Make sure you're in there, and particularly catcher. What has that been like for you to be now more catching, obviously catching a new pitching staff? What has that been like from a defensive standpoint?
Well, I love to catch, so I was a catcher before. So, you know, it's been fun getting back behind the dish and learning the pitchers. And so I knew, like, Nicole, I knew her previously. I got to play with her in travel ball. But learning the new pitchers has been really fun, and working with Coach Hope with the pitchers. So I think we're going to have a good little dynamic there.
What you said you've caught before, is it like riding a bike? You know, you're comfortable back there, or has it been has there been a bit of an adjustment period?
There's a little adjustment, you know, coming from the hot corner to moving the catcher, but it is a little bit like riding a bike. You know, have to knock some of the dust off, but yeah, I think this fall working all catcher, it's been good.
For those that haven't watched you play, describe what kind of player are you?
I think I'm very calm, cool, and collected. I don't, like, do too much, but I like to, you know, show by my talent. I like to walk the walk instead of talk the talk.
When you mentioned Hope Troutwine, did you know each other, I would assume, with your ties a little bit prior to her coming? Or what's it been like having her on the staff as well as Nadia Taylor, who's your hitting coach now?
Yeah, so I actually played with Hope my freshman year at Oklahoma. So I already knew her prior to this year. So it's been fun, you know, talking to her and working with her as my coach. So I love that. And Coach Nod has really been an impact to our team, being our hitting coach and our infield coach. So I'm really excited to see how we are this year with her and with both of them, actually.
See, the truth is I knew you played with Hope, but I wanted you to say it so that way she feels old when she listens to this. It came from you, not from me. That's very good. What are some things you've picked up from Nadia? What's it like? I mean, here's a player who's still playing, one of the best ever. What has that been like getting to know Coach Taylor?
Well, I love that she's still playing, so she's, like, going through it with us. You know, she, like, does some of the things with us, so I love that. But I learned a lot from her defensive-wise and hitting-wise, and I love that she can show her at-bats and she can, like, show us what we should be doing or what we are looking for. So that's really awesome, being able to see it and then, you know, mimic it from her. So I think this year will be great for, you know, our hitting because we have her and we can learn so much from her.
Let's talk a little bit about you. What growing up, what got you into playing softball?
So I started playing softball because of my cousins. They were playing in a league and, you know, we were like, oh, do you want to play? And I was like, oh, sure. So that's how I started playing softball. It was nothing serious at first, but then, you know, after my first few years, it just stuck with me and I kept going with it.
You obviously ended up going to Oklahoma, then you transferred to Houston, which I believe was a big part of that was coming home, closer to home. Is that accurate? Yes. Just tell me through that journey, going to Oklahoma and then deciding, you know what, I want to go closer to home in Houston.
Yeah, so my dad, he is a big part of my life. He loves watching my games and he loves to be there in person. He'd rather, you know, see me in person than watch on the TV. So that he was a big reason. My family was a big reason for me coming home because I love playing in front of them, like just looking in the stands and seeing my whole family there. And I have younger siblings. So just being able to go home on the weekend or just to see them often was a really big part of me coming home. But I also just love the program here. They just had a program that fit with me and the academics. Everything was just like, it was just perfect for me to be here.
Did that help you too with having success on the field? You were just comfortable. You're closer to home. The family's there. They can drive there. They're in the stands. Did that also make you more comfortable knowing, hey, I'm in, you know, home basically? That helped you probably produce on the field a little bit more, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely being with my family and seeing them at the game definitely helped me perform better than I would have, I think, if they weren't there.
Obviously, this is a historic year for the program. It's the first year in the Big 12 for the program. But this is not the first year for you, necessarily. No. So what's that like for you? It's kind of unique because you're now back in the Big 12, and mm-hmm. you're going to help lead this program to a year that people will be talking about 20, 30 years from now as that first Houston team to ever participate in the Big 12.
It's definitely an adjustment for me. Because in the Big 12 before, I wasn't really, you know, a star on the team, playing on the team. So now that I can, you know, play and be able to be with my team on the field and help, you know, like just lead them to wins in the Big 12, that is going to be awesome for me. Like that's just going to be like a huge, like accomplishment that I think we can really go far now.
Do you give players advice of what it's going to be like in the Big 12? Maybe not necessarily just on the field, but hey, some of the travels, because you're probably going to be familiar with some of the trips, road trips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about it. We do have some players that, you know, have come from the SEC. And so we all talk about, you know, the changes from leaving the American Conference and what it's going to be like, and, you know, some of the obstacles we may face.
Talk about some of your teammates. Who are some names that fans should keep an eye on to watch this year to play that's a fun player to watch that you've gotten to see in practice?
Definitely Jazz, our third baseman. So she'll be at the hot corner this year. I think Mandy, she's a transfer as well. Bree Cantu, she was on the team last year, and I think she's going to be a big aspect for us. Some people in the circle, like Shelby, so she's gonna really be a big aspect for us in the circle. So that's just a few of the players, but I think everyone coming in is going to be able to make a huge impact for the team, and I think everyone is going to be able to, you know, take us to the next level.
Who's the comedian of the team? Who's the one that can lighten the mood with a good joke, and that's the go-to? Has that been established yet on the team?
I think Jazz or Bree, they make the team laugh a little bit.
That's very good. How would you describe your personality to people there that they get to know you?
I'm very calm, chill. So, like, I open up to people when I get to know them. So, you know, just them knowing that, they know, like, oh, it takes a little bit to, you know, get to my funny side because I kind of, like, shelter off a little bit. But I think everyone has seen my personality and, like, know who I am.
How would, obviously there will be a lot of fans coming to Houston this year, visiting fans from the Big 12 and everything. You're a Houston native. What would you recommend, people go to visit outside of going to a Houston softball game, of course, but what are some of the great settings you like about the city of Houston you would recommend people to go?
I think all of Houston is just great to like visit, and like downtown Houston, we have, you know, mini NFL, and we have, you know, all the type of pro teams here. So I think that's a good, you know, be a good thing to go scope out. But I think like the Turkey Leg Hut, that's a good little Ooh. Restaurant people love down here. So yeah. I would recommend that one.
Oh, see, I've not been there. I've been to Houston many a time. I've gone mm-hmm. to a bunch of Astros games, which I recommend. That's a beautiful yeah. baseball park. Stadium, but I did not know about that. Expand on that.
It's in downtown Houston. It's called the Turkey Leg Hut. And like the lines are like wrapped around. People love going there. And a lot of people who come visit, they love to go to the Turkey Leg Hut.
Ooh, all right. I'm writing that down. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. What, did you have any favorite athletes, softball players in general you looked up to as you were growing up and playing sports?
Yeah, I looked up to Shay Knighton. She went to Oklahoma. So I really loved watching her play.
Pretty clutch player, too. That's a memorable
player.
Do you, was that like your memory? What are some of your early memories of watching softball?
Definitely watching her play, in the World Series. More specifically, one of the games they played against Alabama. She hit like a clutch home run. So watching her play definitely was one of the reasons I decided to, you know, keep playing softball. I was like, okay, I can do that. I can do that. So she definitely, helped my journey come along.
Yeah, nobody will ever forget that 17 inning marathon against Florida where she helped win that game for Oklahoma there. How much do you feel now you're in the role of inspiring young people as well? Is that something you kind of take, realize there that, you know, somebody like Shay Knighton inspired you. Now you get to inspire young people in the stands that hope maybe they can become softball players down the road.
Oh, definitely. Because I have younger siblings. So I have, 9-year-old twins, brother and sister, and they already look up to me. And so I take that very seriously that they look up to me and they want to do the things I do. So I want to be, you know, a good role model to all kids of their ages to know that they can do it and that they can, you know, be in the spot that I am now.
What do you want to do past softball? Do you want to play professionally, number one? Is that something you shoot for? Have you thought about that? And if not, what do you want to do beyond softball?
Yeah, I definitely want to play a few years professionally, and then I want to be a coach. So I want to coach eventually at the collegiate level. And I do want to eventually maybe own like a facility, like a hitting facility or something like that. So I definitely want to stay in the softball world.
So you're hooked. You're hooked on the sport moving forward. What got you interested in maybe going to coaching route or giving hitting lessons? What inspired you that?
Well, I help out with like Impact Gold. That's the travel team that I played for. So I help out with them a little bit. And I just love like working with the girls and seeing them improve and, you know, seeing them look up and learn from me. So I really love, you know, just that experience of being around them. So I just want to, you know, make that into my career.
That's fantastic. That's great. Mm-hmm. Giving back to the game. That's a good for you on that, front there. You've been around, obviously, the Houston campus right now. You've been around Houston Athletics. So you've seen, for example, volleyball, football, basketball. They've all played so far in the Big 12. Have you gone to some of these games? And if you've noticed the pickup in the atmosphere, the excitement around the fan base, or describe that.
So, you know, playing in the Big 12 before, and seeing like it come to our school is like just awesome. And you know, I've watched volleyball games, basketball games, and even the football games, and seeing like how the fans just get hyped now, like more hyped than they were before. Cause the games, you know, just mean so much more that we are in the Big 12. So I just can't wait for, you know, our softball team to experience that and see what it's like and be in that atmosphere.
Do you have some friends in the conference that are, you know, you're going to be playing against that you're like, oh, you know, we're good friends, but I got to beat you now once we play. Who are some of the close friends you got in the league?
So obviously playing from Oklahoma, I know, you know, most of them there, like Quincy Lilio and Riley Boone, you know, those are my closest friends at Oklahoma. So it'll be fun getting to play against them. And just some of the girls like at Texas, like I played with them in travel ball or like against them. So being able to play against them now, you know, at this high level would just be really exciting.
Are you or Hope going to be the tour person when y'all go to Oklahoma? I mean, who's going to be the one that recommend where to eat there?
I'm going to give it all to Hope. I'm going to let Hope take that one.
Smart. Very good move on that. A couple more things before we let you go. With this group, describe for those that are going to watch your team play, what do you want your people to see? What is Houston Cougars softball identity going to be?
We're just going to come out electric. You know, we're going to be scrappy. We're going to just be a team to watch because we are going to be better in all aspects of the field. We're going to, you know, we're going to be able to play defense, hit, and be good in the circle. So I think we're going to be definitely a team to watch out for this year. We're probably going to be underestimated, be the underdogs. But I think we're definitely going to be a team to watch.
Is that something as a group you talk about, being the underdog, maybe a chip on the shoulder, get some respect? Is that something you can use as motivation?
Oh, definitely. And I think I used that last year, you know, coming into a new program. I feel like I had a chip on my shoulder. So I think as a team, that's how we're going to feel going into the Big 12, like we have a chip on our shoulder and that we're the underdogs. So that'll be fun.
Well, you got a lot of people's respect yourself last year because there were teams that didn't want to pitch to you. and pitched around you. Like, did you notice that as the season went on and teams would pitch around you, didn't give you anything? Was that kind of frustrating or like, or but at the same time, it's the ultimate respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely started to notice that. You know, when I started getting walked a little bit more. And I, you know, I know that's a sign of respect. So I didn't really think too much in it or like get mad about it, but I definitely did notice.
You have such a great plate presence, watching you in person. I was so impressed by your eyes. You have a great sense of the strike zone. You didn't swing away from the strike. You know, sometimes as a hitter, you get a little impatient and swing away. That was not you. You were over 500 on base, etc. Where did that all come from?
I think growing up, I always just had, you know, a good eye of where the ball, you know, the strike zone. And I think being a catcher allows me to know the strike zone a little bit better. And, you know, being able to watch the people in front of me or even like the other team hit and see what the umpire is calling. So you know what you can and you don't have to swing at.
That's interesting. Jada Cody of UCF has told me the same thing, that catching mm-hmm. actually helps her as a hitter because you have a sense of the strike zone. I did not know that, but so you verify that you actually yeah. like the fact, because there's some catchers that, you know, obviously it's a physical position and mm-hmm. sometimes it affects their hitting, but you're saying it benefits you
yes,
because
definitely.
It knows the strike zone. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely benefits because you're able to see the ball. Like you kind of see it as a pitcher standpoint because you work with the pitcher so closely. So I just see like, I can tell what the umpire wants, what he doesn't want. And so that actually helps me as a hitter.
What's going to be the keys for your team to have success this season? Or, you know, what are a couple things that you all are working on that you think is going to be a key?
Definitely playing as a unit. So we're going to, you know, try to be as one team and not, you know, little players. We're going to all be one. And I think, you know, being the team that's going to do the little things right. So we're going to be able to do all aspects of the game, which is going to make us scrappy. So I think that's the word that I think I could describe our team as. We're going to be a scrappy team that does the little things right to get the wins.
There are going to be a lot of fans out there to watch you play this season, and maybe people haven't been to softball before. What message would you like to give those fans and Houston Cougar fans that are come out to your ballpark this year to watch you play?
Definitely to keep going. Like the little girls that are, you know, playing and trying to get into the position that we are, I would say to keep going. You know, every season might not be the season you want it to be in travel ball at the collegiate level, but keep working at it and you'll get there.
That's Taria Coleman joining us here on In the Circle, star player for the Houston Cougars for all Big 12 preseason honors. And it's certainly an honor to have her on the show. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us and getting to know you. And keep up the great success you've been playing. It's just, as I say, you're a fun player to watch. So really a pleasure to get to talk to you. Good luck this season. Have fun. And I'm sure we'll cross paths down the road. But thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks again to Taria Coleman for joining us here on In the Circle. Thanks to Dan Hamilton. Shout out to him, the SID at Houston, who helped us get both interviews. Look, Taria Coleman, Victor, I can tell, obviously I've seen a lot of Houston softball, as that was alluded to.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier in the program, I've gone to Houston games there many years, starting in 08, when I got to see, the great legendary Houston Athletic Hall of Famer, Angel Shamblin.
Yes.
Dueling it out with the Allison Kime. You mentioned that UCF Houston rivalry. That's kind of where it all kind of was at the beginning and a bit peaked there. Angel Shamblin's the greatest Houston softball player of all time. She's in the Houston Athletics Hall of Fame. She was named, I think they recently celebrated 75 years of that school, and I think had the 75 greatest Houston athletes. She was named into that. To me, Taria Coleman has a chance to be the best hitter Houston's ever had. If she continues this track,
yep.
You know, you got Haley Al-Uten, who was a great player, played professionally, that stood out among others. But I think she's got a chance. Jessica Volish was an All-American infielder for them. She was a great player. You know, Lori Wagner had a great year. I remember her senior year in 08, led was over 25 home runs, I want to say. They've had some great hitters, even as recent. But to me, I think Taria Coleman has a chance to be in that conference. She set 5 single-season records in her last year, her first year. I think she's got a chance to be among the best ever Houston offensively. that Houston's ever produced.
And here's the other thing, Eric. She doesn't have to do it all by herself. A lot of that offense from Houston last year with Bree Cantu and Paige Holsey are back with her in 2024. The obvious question is going to be the pitching staff. Can Houston get some more consistent and even pitching now that Kenna Wilkie has graduated and she played last year in the WPF? So who's going to step up under the tutelage and the guidance of Hope Troutwine to get the Cougars to be competitive in the Big 12 in 2024? That's the biggest question for me, is who can emerge for Houston in their pitching staff under Hope Troutwine?
No doubt. We'll see. Reboot there. We'll see how they do this year. It's certainly, they seem to be ready. We'll see how it comes out this upcoming season for Houston. All right, before we wrap it up, I just want to say, so I have my three favorite Houston Cougar alums. You want to guess who they are, Victor?
If Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler ain't two of the three, I'm going to have some words with you.
All right, no, fair. I have Olajuwon actually ahead of Drexler, but if you want to put him as a tie for three, yes. Because I was a big Hakeem Olajuwon fan growing up. I was happy.
High slam and jam.
Oh, great doc in 30 for 30, by the way.
Yes. Strongly recommend watching that documentary.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that, Victor. But they're not my top two.
Angel Shamblin, I believe, is on the list.
She's definitely one of my top two. Then
and she's not top two. And the other one.
Yep.
I don't know.
Hello, friend. Jim Nantz. Hello. Oh! If you look at my social media, Houston alum Jim Nantz got his start in Houston. He was roommates with Fred Couples.
Fred Couples got his honorable mention.
He got it. Well, I love Fred Couples as a golfer.
Yes.
On the Masters. Jim Nantz got his start in broadcasting by covering
that student at the university. Yes. During Fly Slamma Jamma.
That's correct. That is definitely, I met him a handful of years ago. He was calling the American Conference semifinals in Orlando, of all places. And if you see my social media on Twitter, I have a photo.
His profile photo, ladies and gentlemen, at Eric Lopez Elo, is a picture of him with Jim Nantz.
It was great. It was an awesome moment. A great conversation with him. We talked a little bit about Houston, and it was great. So that's my favorite Houston alums. Jim Nantz is one of my favorites that I look up to from a broadcast. And Jim Nantz, well, of course, will be calling the Super Bowl that has Patrick Mahomes, Big 12,
Texas Tech,
Tech alum, with Andy Reid, head coach, went to BYU, going up against
Nate Bajorano.
That's right, going against the 49ers and their quarterback, Brock Purdy, Iowa State quarterback, and of course, their head coach, Kyle Shanahan, went to Texas. So what does it all have in common?
We're gonna Big have 12, all baby. Of those schools. We're gonna have all of those had, or we'll have all of those schools on Big 12 Media Week.
I'm just saying, Big 12 well represented in the Super Bowl. Well, Jim Nantz will be calling the Super Bowl once again from Las Vegas. So Jim Nantz, Houston alum, obviously covered Houston. Houston, obviously men's basketball. Calvin Sampson and company having a great year. They've redone the arena. I am looking. One of my goals in the next handful of years is to go to that arena. The Fertitta Center to watch a Houston basketball game. Those atmospheres are great. And I think the atmosphere will be exciting too in softball.
Yes.
With some of that matchups with Texas coming in, Oklahoma State coming in. I've been there when that place is rocking too. So it should be a lot of fun this year, over there, but that'll do it for this edition of In the Circle. Shout out to Dan Hamilton. Shout out to Kristen Vesley. Shout out to Taria Coleman. Shout out to Angel Shamblin. Shout out to Hakeem Olajuwon.
Shout out to David Klingler.
David Klingler.
Shout out Andre Ware.
Andre Ware.
Shout out Case Keenum. How about that?
Recent Hall of Fame inductee at Houston.
Yes.
Shout out to Jim Nantz. Hello, friend.
Well, with this case, goodbye, friends.
For Victor Anderson, I'm Eric Lopez. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of In the Circle.
Top podcast is out. Goodbye, Houston. We don't have a problem.